At this time, I'd like to advise all participants today's conference is being recorded. If you do have any objections, you may disconnect. You may go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's Thick Hui's PDP drafting team call on Thursday, the 27th of September. We have Alan Greenberg, Keith Strazik, Caroline Hoover, Mikey O'Connor, Ekaterina Dureva. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Barbara Roseman, and myself, Gisela Gruber. And we have apologies noted from Susan Prosser, Steve Metallitz, Jonathan Zook, Carlton Samuels, and Ray Fassett. And Susan Tawaguchi has just joined the call as well. If I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. I hope I haven't left anyone off the attendance list. Thank you, and over to you, Mikey.
Excuse me, this is Elisa Cooper. I think I was left off.
My apologies, Elisa. Your attendance has been noted. Thank you.
Thanks, Gisela. Welcome all. Our usual short agenda, continue working on this draft. I think we're getting pretty close, but one never knows. Just a brief pause to let people either add stuff to the agenda if there's something that's on people's minds, or update us with your statement of interest if either of those are relevant. This is the time to speak. Okay. I sent you a copy just a few minutes ago via the list of the draft that's on your screen. What you're looking at is my screen as I edit this draft, and so I just wanted you to have a copy of your own if you want to scroll around, because you can't scroll this one. That way you can either follow along what I'm doing or go other places to look stuff up. It should be on the list if you need it. I'm just thinking that we're going to go through the few remaining issues that we've been discussing on the list. For the most part, there seems to be a pretty high comfort level, but there are a few things that we need to touch on. Keith, I'm going to pick on you in a minute, so I'll just give you a heads up. I think one of the things we want to do is circle back to that language that you took away under advisement to make sure that we've got that right. I want to zero in on the topic that Tim introduced, and we've had a pretty lively discussion on the list about authoritative in a database sense as opposed to authority over the data in a more legal process sense. I've got language in there for that. We had a lingering issue from last time that Jeff had some language in the draft that we need to take a look at. And I think those are the three biggies. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, just a point of order. The copy that I got didn't have an attachment.
Well, that probably means everybody.
Me too.
Everybody got a copy without the attachment.
That'd be
Isn't
great.
Isn't that clever? I think given that, we'll just limp along. I'm too old to multitask that. Sorry, that's my screw-up.
That's fine.
Thanks for pointing it out, though. I'd have been breezing along. The one that I sent earlier in the week is really close, but not quite the same as this. Apologies. So with that, Keith, you're going to even have to refresh me as to which part of the language is the part that we were going to look at for you.
No problem, Mikey. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So, yeah, I think the question, I think it was Alan, forgive me if I'm not remembering correctly, but I think Alan raised the question about, you know, the word consistent and was confused or had some concerns around the inclusion of the word consistent under consistent use of Thick Whois. And, you know, the reason I suggested the word consistent use was to ensure that the charter and the work of the PDP working group did not single out one entity. I think with Aubrey's addition or suggested addition that we've incorporated, where it talks about for existing and future registry operators, I think my concern is satisfied. So I would be fine with removing the word consistent if that's the holdup.
That was certainly the one we sent you a way to think about, and the language that's highlighted on the screen is the sentence that we removed consistent from. So, good, we'll tick that one off as okay unless somebody else gets excited about that.
I'm happy with that, Alan.
Okay, good deal. Thanks a million, Keith. The next one is the one that I just inserted. That's this one, the one yellow that's highlighted in yellow. Hopefully this is big enough that you can read it on the screen. This came from Tim, and I have just plunked my draft into the charter in a place that I think is a good close spot because, in my mind anyway, this is a database issue. It's not a legal authority over the data kind of issue. It's more of a technical issue. And the words that I used, the word authoritative, I think got us off in the weeds. So let me clarify what I meant, and then we can sort of take it from there. What I was thinking was that the issue had to do with the fact that in the thin model, in a database sense, the authoritative database sits with registrars for the registrant data. Whereas in the thick, the registry maintains, in a purely technical sense, the authoritative database, even though the registrars still have the legal and contractual authority over collecting and maintaining that data. And I think that if there's a better set of words than the ones that are on your screen to make that clear, that would certainly clarify it from my vantage point. But I want to sort of throw this out to the group. Unfortunately, we lost Ray on this call. I think he could have been a big help, but I won't do this immediately, but Barb, you've been really good at some of the clarifying language stuff, so if there's a lifeline that you could throw me on this one, that would be great, or if anybody else has one, I'd be sort of all ears, because at least my intent, and I don't think Tim's intent, was to broaden our scope to talk about who has the legal and contractual authority over that data. I think we were merely talking about the issues associated with the technical migration. So with that, Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, I think we can solve the problem by using the word authoritative but defining it for the purposes of the scope. So then we can use the kind of sentence you just used and not try to find the single word which everyone will understand implicitly to mean that.
Okay.
I think that's the... Otherwise, we're going to be agonizing over a word and different people have different understandings of it. And I think that addresses it. By the way, there is one subtle difference in the thick model, and that is the registry has the ability to lock the data and that can't be changed under any given circumstance. Whereas in the thin model, it can be. So that does give the registry a certain level of control over the thin model. I'm not sure it's relevant to our discussion, but I thought I'd mention that because it is a difference that technically does impact what one might see. Thank you.
Yeah. Interesting. Anybody else got any thoughts on this? I'm happy to take a whack at recreating that sentence. I may have to listen to the transcript to do it, but if more words... I started to do that a little bit in the email thread, and I could also go back to that and steal those words.
It's Alan. If authoritative bothers people, maybe definitive.
Well, I mean, I like authoritative because it does mean something in the technical sense.
Yeah.
But I want to make that. I want to highlight the distinction there, because and I think the maybe the key issue for this group is, let's presume away the problem of a definition. I think I can do that. But I think the scope question is what's really important, which is, it was certainly my sense when we were in the IRTP thinking about this that we weren't going to go into the broader legal, contractual, authority kinds of dimensions with this working group. And so my inclination would be to use that narrower and more technical definition in this sentence.
Well, you can also, another strategy that's been used in the past is to state that there are these other issues, but they are not within the scope of the current work. Right? You know, so you can acknowledge them and say, you know, there are clear implications for how this would have to be worked out through either contracts or cost or whatever. You know, you can just point to all those issues and say, but those are not within the scope of this working group and would have to be addressed under another discussion or another. And you don't have to say it has to be a whole PVP or something, because it might not be, but but that it's not going to be something you directly address. Sorry, Marika just reminded me that I have to say this is Barbara speaking, so I'm saying that.
Yeah, okay. I knew that. I was going to kind of...
No, for the transcript.
That's something that's very comfortable for me as a project manager, is to say, here are the things that are in scope, and, oh, by the way, here are the things that are out of scope.
Right, that we recognize these issues. We recognize they exist, but, you know, and they're obviously worth discussion, but they're outside the scope of this particular work.
Yeah, okay. That popped Keith's hand up. So, Keith, take it away.
Yeah, thanks, Mikey. And I think, I mean, obviously for the existing PIC TLD registries, they are authoritative. That it's written into the contracts, that's basically the way it is. I'm not sure that we could just jump to the conclusion that all future registries will be authoritative over the registrars. I think it's an open question at this point. Unless there is some sort of a definition, you know, of a PIC registry that says it is authoritative, it may not be so. I mean, that's certainly the case, you know, to date and with the existing registries. And there are a lot of technical reasons, I think, why it makes sense. But I'm not sure that we can necessarily jump to that conclusion. So I'm not sure that using the language that, you know, is completely out of scope is appropriate at this point.
What if we, well, I think that what we need to do when we speak about this is make clear, are you talking about technical authoritative in the database sense, or are you talking legal authoritative as in contract?
Well, I think it's both, and I think they're very much tied together. So, hey, I'm not sure if you had a chance to see Tim Ruiz's email he just sent out just before the call. I don't know if Tim is on or not,
no.
Yeah, he was responding to some of the back and forth. And, why don't I just read it? Says, for me, the authoritative question is the crux of the issue. It must be clear who is authoritative in order to resolve disputes, legal or otherwise. And if the common.NET registries are going to become fit, yet not be authoritative, then I think that will have a big impact on who may support it and who will not. So we can ignore it in the charter, but I guarantee you it will come up in the working group. So that was a comment from Tim, and he went on to say, regarding my earlier concern, I never said or intended that the PDP working group should take on the issue of whether or not registrars should be required to continue to provide whois. He agrees that would be out of scope. He said he only meant that the charter should not state definitively that they will have to, as it may misguide the working group. So I think, you know, Tim and I may be coming at it from different angles, but I think what we're both saying is that it's not a given at this time that all future registries or existing registries would necessarily be authoritative. I think it's something that needs to be discussed.
Yeah, and Tim is sort of the genesis of this thread, so I read with great care what he says. And he's saying it must be clear who is authoritative in order to resolve disputes, legal or otherwise. That would tend to mean, to me, the broader, less technical definition of authoritative is what appealed to Tim. And I kind of hear the same from you, Keith. So what I'm starting to hear is that I had this reversed in my head, and that the scope should be the opposite way. Is that what you're getting at as well, Keith?
I think that's right. I see some folks have their hands up, Barb and Alan.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'll turn through the queue. Right. Barb, go ahead.
I was going to suggest a word change, but I'm not sure it gets quite at what how the discussion has evolved here. For the technical side of the authoritative registry issue, you're really talking about primaries and secondaries. Now, I know that that language is more familiar for people who talk about name servers, but I think that that would be a way of perhaps distinguishing between the technical versus the larger legal ramifications of authoritative. So you could talk about the implications of migrating the primary repository for registrant data. And then Tim did point out in another place that there's a distinctive overlap between who is data and registrant data, but they're not simply congruent with each other. And again, I think we need to be clear what it is we're trying to distinguish here. If we're really talking about the registrant data, then that does include all the larger contractual legal issues. If we're talking about the data that appears in the who is, then I think we can talk a little bit more succinctly about primary and secondary. But I don't want to push this. I don't want to be the one to push the discussion in either direction here. I'm just trying to give you some clarifying terms.
Thanks, Barb. That's helpful. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, I really have a question, not a statement. We're not inventing anything here. There are plenty of thick whois registries in the world, and the registrars currently support them. Now, registrars are required by contract to have a whois service. Right? And I'm sure when a registrar sends my data in to .org, as an example, they don't discard it. They keep a copy. When I go to a registrar's whois and I say alangreenberg.org, are they showing me the data from the registry or are they showing me the private copy, typically? I've always assumed that for the data that is stored in the whois repository, in the thick whois, in PIR, I'm seeing that data regardless of whether I go to Internic or I go to GoDaddy or whoever the registrar is. Is that not a correct statement? Do some registrars show their private data which might be out of sync?
Not sure we have the answer. And for a scoping discussion,
but I think there's an established model. What is the expectation today with a thick whois? Because that's what we're trying to move towards.
Yeah, but I'm starting to feel like we're doing the work. What I'd like to get to is not do the work of the working group, but make sure that we've got the right question for them to answer.
This is Barbara. I think that's actually a really good point, because you want to make sure here at this point that we don't get bogged down in the answers that people are trying to get to. We really just want to pose the questions here. And so you just want to make sure that the questions are clear and your terminology is comfortable enough that people are going to be able to use it moving forward. They may even change it once they start the working group to say, wow, that didn't get quite at what we were, you know, trying to distinguish here. But what you're trying to do is provide a framework and a language for having the discussion and for achieving some consensus on an outcome. But this particular setting up the charter is not where you want to lay out every single issue, because that's doing the work of the working group.
Yeah. Okay, I think in order, unless somebody has more clarifying to do, let this poor chump go off and take a crack at a revision to this based on the conversation we've had so far. And I'll get it to the list with the hope that we can maybe hammer this one out over the course of the next week. So I think what I want to do is move on to the next puzzler, which is one we skipped on our way to Jeff's. We ran out of time last time, and we skipped this one. And so the word uniform is highlighted on this page. And it's much like the issue that Alan raised about the word consistent, which is the word uniform in this sentence changes the meaning of the sentence in a pretty substantial way. So let me read it, and I'll do the emphasis. Competition in registry services. What would be the impact on competition in registry services should all registries be required to provide a uniform WHOIS service? Would there be more or less or no difference? And I think that the issue that Ray is raising, it's too bad he's not on the call, is are we really going for uniformity, or are we just going for a consistent model? Because uniformity in this context may imply virtually identical WHOIS services across registries. And I don't think that that's the intent. And so my inclination would be to change this to you, to something like provide WHOIS using a consistent model or some such, rather than uniform, which seems overly restrictive. Barb, go ahead.
Yeah, so one of the issues that I think this is trying to address is that people... I'm sorry, different registries and registrars provide their WHOIS answers in different formats. And, you know, that can mean as simple as they provide the, you know, some of the registrant data first, then the registrar data, and, or vice versa. And I think the goal of this particular issue is to indeed provide consistent responses so that everybody knows it, so that it's parsable. So that you can, you know, receive a response and immediately know which field corresponds to which bit of data. And this is going to become even more important with the internationalized registrations, because the scripts may not be, you know, transparent to everybody. And so, I think that consistent model is the form I'd go for, but I do think you have to be a little careful here that what you're trying to get at is you want consistent responses to queries, right? You don't really care how they store the data, I mean, unless you do. But that what you want is WHOIS responses that are, you know, or transfer data that is going to be consistent from one registrar to another, or from one registry to another.
I think you and I are agreeing.
Yeah, I'm agreeing.
But I'm also not sure that that's properly within the scope. So we'll go to Alan first.
You said what I said, but in a milder what I was going to say, but in a milder way. That's mission creep in spades. I mean, there's no question that we ICANN should have a definition right now of what thick is and what thin is and what we expect from a registry and a registrar in those two models that we have. We don't have that. I don't think it's this group's responsibility to write the specification manual for thick who is, or thin for that matter. So if currently your thick registries, some come up out in one order and some come out in the other order, that's a problem, which perhaps a problem which needs to be addressed. But I don't think it's our problem.
Yeah, and now that Alan's done, let me circle back to a conversation that we've been having in the IRTP right now, IRTPC, which is that in the RAA discussions, there is discussion about uniform who is, which is exactly what Barb described, a consistent display of who is data. It's my contention that a consistent display of who is data can be achieved in thick or thin registry models, and that defining that consistent or uniform display of who is data is way outside our scope. Our job is to figure out the implications of thick versus thin, but not to specify.
Yeah, no, I sorry, this is Barbara. I wasn't saying specify it here. I was just saying if that's what you're trying to get at here, then consistent might be a better use.
That's yeah, well, and I was thinking, Ray is joining. Cool. Maybe he's coming back. Ray, are you on the call?
I have just joined. Sorry for being
late.
Oh.
You can now paint a picture of a fella that just found a log on the ocean and is clinging to it with his fingernails. So good to
have.
I'm
glad I could assist there. Thank you, Mikey.
We've been through that point, but we're working on one of your on your remaining point. So
okay.
Let me replay the bidding on this one, and then we'll circle back to where we wound up on the other one and check in with you on that. We're working on your highlighting the word uniform who is service. And let me just see if I can replay this fairly quickly. The issue is that using the word uniform who is service confuses the issue of what we're doing, which is making the choice about thick versus thin who is models, with the issue of uniform display of who is data, which is an ongoing discussion in the RAA negotiations right now. And I sort of made the contention, and Barb backed me up, that you can display who is data in a uniform way in thick or thin, and that whole issue is way outside our scope. So what I was proposing, and I think we're sort of landing on, is to say, to reword that sentence to say, competition in registry services, what would be the impact on competition in registry services? Should all registries be required to provide who is services under the thick model? And delete that uniform reference. Is that the issue that was in your mind when you highlighted that?
This is Ray Fassett. I think really no. It's just the issue of just having being consistent in the language, so that later someone in the working group reads it and sees consistency. And I think though what you did does accomplish that. It sounds to me.
Okay, I'm going to do that then right now. Using oops. Does anybody cry out in agony? This is your chance. So now what it says is required to provide who is service using the thick who is model, and avoids what I think is a gigantic scope explosion with uniform who is, because that's a really different issue.
Yeah, Mikey, okay. It's Alan. I think that's good. The way I originally read uniform was a synonym for thick versus thin. So I think you've certainly captured it with your rewrite.
Yeah, and avoided a minefield. Okay, let's go back up to the one that we just worked on a little bit. Ray, I'm going to replay the bidding on this really quick and sort of prime you to join us on the email list on this one, because I think you're absolutely right in raising the question, and you may have noticed that Tim has come back in on the list as well. My confusion, and I think it may be mine and mine alone, is that I was thinking of the kind of techie database thing. Oh, well, there's an authoritative place where you store data, but authoritative only in the technical sense, not in the contractual slash customer-facing sense. We were churning along pretty well, saying, well, let's just insert that definition and then state that the contractual kind of stuff is out of scope, when Keith chimed in, and then so did Tim, coincidentally via the list, and said, these are very connected issues. And so I come to the conclusion that we need to rewrite this again. I think we need to really work hard on it on the list. I'm going to take a try at a rewrite, and I just want to prime you that this one's still open. I think where I'm headed on this call is I want to see if we can get everything else buttoned up except for this issue, and then hammer on this issue on the list and get it squared away. But I would love to hear sort of your thoughts about whether that's the right direction, and if not, what is the right direction. So take it away, Ray.
Hi, Mikey. Thanks. Ray Fassett. I think what you're saying makes logical sense in terms of an approach. Obviously, there are strong views on this. I have reviewed Tim's. Speaking off the top of my head, I might question Tim where he says it must be clear who is authoritative in order to resolve disputes, legal or otherwise. I might say that might be the job of the working group, but beyond that, then I might even ask, again, asking myself a question, if you will, okay? Is the purpose of who is to resolve disputes, legal or otherwise? So, Mikey, what I'm trying to say is, to your point, I think you are heading down the right path, is let's look at everything else first. This does need to be addressed in some fashion, and I appreciate your willingness to try to do that.
We'll see how well it goes. But, you know, it's a very interesting scope issue, and one of the things that we're going to have to work really hard as a drafting team is to steer clear of actually deciding anything about this. We just need the right words, the right container for the discussion of the working group itself. And so I'm going to take a try at it, but only from a scope standpoint. I'm certainly not going to try and answer the policy issues that are contained in there. Okay, we are down to pretty much the last thing, which is that right at the end of the call last time, we got to Jeff's thought that from sort of a language standpoint, there's kind of a balancing opposite point that maybe ought to be addressed by the working group. It said, the paragraph immediately above the one that's highlighted there says, should the working group reach consensus that the thick should be required, then there's a bunch of other stuff for them to consider, and then three bullets. Jeff raised the possibility of saying maybe we should also have one in there that says, should the PDP reach a consensus, that CCWIS should not be required for all GTLDs, then the working group needs to look at the possibilities of other registries choosing to go thin. My initial reaction was, oh, that's an interesting thought exercise. But the sense I got on the very short piece of the call that we had, we really literally only had about 3 or 4 minutes to talk about this, was that, if the PDP working group decides not to recommend CCWIS for all GTLDs, that's the end of the story. And the remaining issues, the ones like Jeff is raising, will just be handled by current contracts, current policy, et cetera, et cetera. And that there is, in fact, no need to do this, and actually not, that this is actually not a good idea, because it, again, dramatically increases the scope of the working group and takes us into a land that nobody particularly wants to go into. So I just wanted to drag that one in front of you again, because we really only had a few minutes. Just checking the list. No, Jeff's still not on the call. I asked Jeff to send something off to the list about this, and he did not. So my presumption is that he doesn't feel super strongly about this, or he would have sent something to the list, and we could have had a little debate about it. And so my inclination is to delete it, but I do want to hear from folks. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, I think your analysis and where we should go is spot on. There are established processes. If the working group decides that the thin WHOIS registries do not need to migrate to thic, then there are established processes for a thic registry to ask to go thin, be it contract negotiations, RSTEP. I don't think it's our decision or even our recommendation whether that path should be legitimate or not. I mean, ICANN made a strong decision in the new new registry's contract. I don't think it's our job to try to evaluate that. So I agree with you 100%.
Cool. We've got some tick marks. Anybody disagree? Anybody want to fight hard for this particular one? This would be the time to do it if you want to. Otherwise, I think I'll delete this one. And I'm not seeing anybody's hand up. So here it goes. All right. That's, I believe, it. So I think what I want to do on this last 20 minutes is go through this thing one last time. But this is essentially the first consensus call with one notable exception, and that's the whole authoritative thing that we'll leave outstanding. So I just want to basically drag us through it. This is the time to, and in fact, I'm going to go to clean draft so that we're not distracted by all that crud. Oops, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. Make it a little bigger. You can see it better. Because I think we're essentially done, with the exception of that one issue. So here it is, clean draft style, with a few remaining notes in brackets that either I or Marika have to go back and fix. And so I'm just going to basically read it to you. For generic top-level domain registries, the ICANN specify who is service requirements through registry agreements and the registrar accreditation agreement. And so I think we're going to fix that. Is it? Oh, it is the. Never mind. Registries have historically satisfied. Oh, wait a minute. Keith just typed a great big thing into the chat. Keith, do you want to jump on the call here for folks who aren't going to be able to see that chat, or do you want me to read it?
No, that's fine, Mikey. Why don't we go ahead and finish with what you're working through, and then I can circle back.
Okay. So let's see. So registries have historically satisfied their WHOIS obligations under two different models. The two models are often characterized as thick and thin registries. This distinction is based on how two distinct sets of data are maintained. WHOIS contains two kinds of data about a domain name. One set of data is associated with the domain name, and the second set of data is associated with the registrant of the domain name. That, by the way, is a change that I did. That sentence used to be right up at the end of this paragraph. And then, based on our conversation last week, I wrote an almost identical sentence here, and I liked the first one better, so I just took it into its own paragraph. In a thin registration model, the registry only collects the information associated with the domain name from the registrar and is in turn... only collects the information associated with the domain name from the registrar and is in turn published by the registry. That doesn't read right to me. Only collects the information associated with the domain name.
Sorry, we can't... Mikey, it's Alan. Did we define the information associated with the domain name above?
No.
I can't scroll. Then it's an undefined term, and it is vague.
Well, not only that, it's the... Yeah, okay. So that's why we reworded it before. So
again, we're suffering from lack of definition of what these are.
Yeah. Such as... status, location, date. Critical dates. I'm not going to get too tricky here. I'm going to change only to merely to highlight the fact that this is a diminutive. That's the thing that was bothering me. In the thin registration model, the registry merely collects the information associated with the domain name from the registrar. And that information is in turn published by the registry. This that ooh, I hate it when I get that. All right. This registrar status of the registration. Here's the definition. And it's the meaning of this is backwards. Petition to identify. Definition. Everybody comfortable with what I just did? Did you see what I did? Because now what we've done is we've defined the data that's associated with the domain name. This is the sponsoring registrar status of the registration, creation and expiration date, name server data and last time, etc. Ray is in on this. Good. Okay. Anybody else uncomfortable? Remove the period. Thank you, Carolyn. Okay. Now we say in a thin registration model, the registry merely collects the information associated with the domain name from the registrar. The registry in turn publishes that information. In the thin registration model, registrars maintain the second set of data associated with the registrant of the domain and provide it via their own WHOIS services, as required in Section 3.3 of the RAA for those domains they sponsor. We're going to put a footnote in on the term sponsor. I'm going to make a paragraph here because I think it's clear. In a thick registration model, the registry collects both sets of data, domain name and registrant, from the registrar and in turn publishes this data via WHIS.
Mikey,
go ahead, Alan.
The thin one is not quite complete or not quite accurate because the registry does have control over some of that data. Registry can put locks on it and publish that lock. It's what it's publishing is not purely what it gets from the registrar.
Yeah,
at any point in time after the initial registration.
In the thin,
yes.
Yeah. So where you're right. Where do we? So I merely collects the associated with the domain. So this is. I think this is better removed. Merely is better removed. In a thin registration model, the registry collects the information associated with the domain name from the registrar and the registrar. Oh, and we need a comma there. And the registry, in turn, publishes that information along with
this. If it wasn't a parenthetical, if this wasn't already a parenthetical, you could put a nested one in.
Get out of here. You're hurting me now. Along with maintaining certain locks at the registry level.
It's not only locks, it's status.
A long sentence that we're going to turn it into two. Registry in turn publishes that publishes domain name information along with maintaining certain lock and status information at the registry level. In the thin registration model, okay, so we don't need that because we've already got that. Registrars maintain the second set of data associated with the registrant. I think we need that. Registrars maintain data associated with the registrant of the domain and provide it via their own WHOIS services as required by Section 3.3. Hopefully these are clarifying. Oh, I built a queue. I'm sorry. Alan, is that old or new?
Sorry, it's old and I'm away from the computer, so pretend
okay.
It's down.
I'll treat it as perpetually old until you yell at me. Keith, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. The question of domain name status, it is certainly a record that's displayed often, and it's actually true for thin or thick, is that the registry basically has the ability to have various status on a domain name. Lock is one of those. So I think for that sentence, if you're looking to shorten it up a bit, you could simply refer to the domain name status and not lock. Lock is a subset of the various status available.
Perfect. I love shortening. Okay. I was doing a lot kind of on the fly there. Are we okay so far? Yell out if we're not. Otherwise, I'm going to keep going because we are starting to get a little close to the end. In a thick registration model, the registry collects both sets of data, domain name and registrant, from the registrar, and in turn publishes that data via WHOIS. All right, so now we're down to the meaty bit. PDP Working Group is tasked to provide the GNSO Council with a policy recommendation regarding the use of thick WHOIS by all registries. Barbara, capital R, both existing and future. Oh, never mind. All, I see what was going on here, sorry. We want this at the end of this sentence. All GTLD registries.
You lost the space there between registries and both, yeah.
Yeah. And I think a comma. Keith, this is your sentence, so if I've changed the meaning of it, it was unintentional. So look at that real close and make sure that I've just clarified it.
Thanks, Mikey. This is Keith, and I'm fine with the way it is right now. That was the way it was intended.
Okay.
Thanks to Aubrey's input.
Yeah, it just got dropped in the wrong spot. As part of its deliberation on this issue, the PDP working group should, at a minimum, that's a key, I think, we do leave the PDP working group some room to maneuver here, consider the following elements as detailed in the final issue report. Response consistency, I don't believe, had any changes. The registry can dictate the labeling and display to be sure the information is easy to parse, and all registrar's clients would have to display accordingly, which could be considered a benefit but also a potential cost. Of WHOIS information. Sure. The information is easy to parse, and all registrar's clients have to display it accordingly. Which is starting to get quite long. This could be considered a benefit, but also a potential cost. It also be a benefit in the context of internationalized registration data, as even with the use of certain scripts, uniform data collection and display standards could be applied. I'm going to go until you yell at me, and just yell because I'm staring at my screen, not the queue. Stability. In the event of a registrar business or technical failure, it would be beneficial to ICANN and registrants to have the full set of domain registration contact data stored by four organizations: the registry, the registry's escrow agent, the registrar, and the registrar's escrow agent, which would be the case in a thick registry. capital letters on those, Barbara? Or not? I would think these are capitalized, right?
Yeah, those are capitalized.
Yeah, okay. And registrar's escrow agent.
Yep.
And then in this case, I think it's the other way around. I think this gets lowercase at the end. Because now we're talking about the generic.
Right.
Accessibility is the provision of WHOIS information at the registry level under the thick WHOIS model more cost-effective in protecting consumers and intellectual property owners. Okay. Seems like a tasty discussion to me. Impact on privacy and data protection, including consideration of possible cross-border transfers of registrant data. How would thick WHOIS affect privacy and data protection, also taking into account the involvement of different jurisdictions with different laws and legislation with regard to data privacy? It's kind of a mouthful, but makes sense to me. I'm going to leave it alone. Cost implications. What are the cost implications of a transition to thick WHOIS for registries, capital R, registrars, capital R? And registrars. Oh, I see. Registries. Registrars and registrants as a transition to thick WHOIS for all GTLDs.
Mikey, this is Ray. I have a question on this one.
Yeah, go ahead, Ray.
It's really the very last sentence in this paragraph.
Oh, hang on then. I'm beating this one up. This one's not quite grammatical.
Sure.
Just get a comma in there to slow that one down a little bit. Okay. Go ahead with the last. What are the implications if no changes are made and the status quo is maintained? Take it away, Ray.
That seems a very ambiguous question. Open-ended, hypothetical.
Yeah.
I don't know how you measure it, and I think what it means is what are the cost implications?
Certainly in this paragraph, yes. I would take that as a friendly amendment. And I would also say to the registry model. And the status quo is maintained.
Well, I'm not sure what it is. Cost implications to who? This seems very ambiguous to me. What is that referring to? Yeah.
Well, I think this is sort of like the countering. This is the opposite of this question. I think what's trying to be said is, on this one, we're saying, what's the cost of a transition? On this one, we're saying, what's the cost of not transitioning?
Then why don't we just, Alan, why don't we just say that?
Let's say something like, conversely.
Because we're not changing the registry model. Well, we're not changing the registry model. We're not requiring a transition from one WHOIS model to the other.
Right.
Well, this is Ray again. Let me interject. I think the first part of the question is very specific on who we're referring to when we talk about cost implications. I don't think the second part is specific on who we're talking about when we reference cost implications.
Mm-hmm. Is there some way to make this sentence both directions at the same time so that we just picked all this up?
Well, you could say, are there cost implications of a transition to thick WHOIS for registries? Perhaps. I'm thinking out loud.
Yeah. I think that what the intent with this second one is actually the intent of the IRTP, which is the IRTP kids want a place to be able to say, you know, there are costs right now that we're incurring because it's thin. And so I don't want to narrow it quite that much.
Hi, Keith. This is Keith. Could I jump in?
Yeah, go ahead, Keith.
Okay, so I think it's important to, you know, if the question is about cost implications, it's not just are there cost implications, it's important to say, you know, to define what they are. So I think it's important to keep that in, and you know, maybe you need to say, you know, if there are cost implications, you know, what are they? Or maybe there's a way to rephrase that. But to address Ray's point, that the last sentence is not maybe as specific as the first, is simply to add the words registries, registrars, and registrants, just like in the first section. So
right.
Conversely, what are the cost implications to registries, registrars, and registrants if no changes are made to the registry model and the status quo is maintained? I mean, I think that's specific enough, but still, you know, allows for not just, you know, deciding, yes, there are cost implications, but actually, you know there needs to be the cost-benefit analysis, or there are, you know, or at least an assessment of what they are and the defining of what they are.
It's Alan. We don't have to make reference to the registry model if no transition is required or is mandated.
If no transition... like that. How do others feel about that? Barb, go ahead. You're being awfully polite. You shouldn't be this polite at this point because I'm not looking at the queue. Hopefully I didn't leave you there too long. Or maybe that was an old hand. Or maybe you're on mute.
I am on mute. That was the problem.
There.
I think that I was going to say that what you might want to do here is make reference to the cost-benefit analysis, like, you know, that there obviously are costs involved in any, you know, in a transition unless the decision is that no change needs to be made. But you might actually want to imply or suggest that there might be a cost-benefit analysis to no change being made, that, you know, there may be inherent costs in operating in you know, with a thick-thin differential that that would disappear if you went to an all-thick model. So I don't know. I liked that idea of referencing the cost-benefit analysis, and you know, maybe it's not within the scope of the group to provide that, but to say, you know, here are the different considerations that should be taken into account, or
I think that's the intent of the paragraph, is to get the costs on both sides. And I think that Ray's right. The second half of this paragraph was a little vague.
Yeah, no, this is much clearer. I agree.
Ray, how are we doing on sharpening it up? Are you okay with this version?
I think you're doing great, Mikey.
Okay, Marika's got her hand up. Oh, and we're way over time. Gracious, nobody whacked me on that. Maybe that's what Marika's going to do. Marika, go ahead.
This is Marika. No whacking on the hand. To apologize because I was the one who wrote that sentence originally in the issue report. I'm sorry for not making that clear, but I think it's exactly the point that people make, looking at, indeed, what are the costs if you wouldn't transition. And I think that partly probably goes as well to Jeff's point, because this would look at as well what happens indeed if you don't make a transition. What are the implications, for example, as well of you know, having the different models interacting with each other? So I think this might be a, you know, way as well to have his point addressed should it go down that route. So I think this is a helpful clarification as you've made now.
Good deal. Cad, I'm sorry I ran us over the end of the hour. Do people have another 5 minutes to just hang on this final edit? If not, we'll dump out right now. I just totally lost track of time.
Yep.
I,
It's okay with
me, Alan. I tell you what, let's call it quits for today. I'm really sorry I went over. I wasn't paying attention, dang nabbit. I will go through and do and indicate how far we got in this final edit, because I think we are making some very useful changes very quickly now that we've got sort of a shared understanding of where we're going. And we'll pick this up again next week, along with Mikey's try at the authoritative paragraph, and see if we can wrap it up. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, just Marika, just one last comment or more reminder that the deadline for submission of documents and motions for the GNSO Council to consider it in Toronto would be the 9th. So just to keep that in your minds if that's still the deadline you're working towards.
Oh, boy, that's tight. We won't have time. Well, I'm going to try a draft for a first consensus call on the list with the hope that we can get two consensus, everybody thumbs up, next week. That's a little aggressive, but that two-week-apart consensus call thing is a convention. I don't think it's a rule in the PDP, and we're a drafting team. Are people comfortable with that?
Mikey, it's Alan. There's an awful lot of people who think we've been dithering of this for far too long, so I'm okay with it.
Some people are just never satisfied. Okay, that's it for today, folks. Thanks a million. We'll see you in a week.
Thanks for all the heavy lifting, Mike.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
Thanks.
This concludes today's conference. At this time, all parties may disconnect.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gisela. Great job.